the Agile brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of The Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. Understanding and leveraging data, as well as fostering a culture of continuous improvement, are paramount for success in marketing today. We're going to dive into these concepts with Mana Ionescu, FVP Digital Marketing at Axos Bank, who brings a wealth of experience in demystifying marketing concepts and debunking these myths. So Mana, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here today and chat with you.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about these topics with you. So, you know, first thing, I'd love if you could introduce yourself, as a former agency founder and now a marketing leader at Axos Bank. You know, could you share a little bit of your journey and what your role consists of at Axos Bank?
Yeah, so I started almost 20 years ago in digital marketing. So I'm of that generation where we were tinkering with email before we had any rules about how not to email.
Right.
and I went from there to building my own agency, starting with social media when social media was very new, all the way to a larger agency, and then moved on to back to the corporate world, back to financial services, which was my first passion and continues to be something that gets me really excited. And now I get the opportunity to work with a group of very smart people and drive the growth and the acquisition strategies here at the bank. It's a very exciting space and time to do digital marketing, given all the new tools and technologies available to us. And in financial services, we get to work with nice, fun, large data sets, which make it possible for us to tinker with AI and to really have the volumes of data needed to make smart decisions and also make errors that teach us how to make better decisions. So it's been a wonderful journey, and I'm very lucky to be where I am and have fun with what I do.
Great. So yeah, let's get started here. And we're going to start by talking about the role of data in effective marketing. And as probably all know here, everybody listening to the show, data plays a crucial role in marketing effectiveness, as well as even in shaping marketing strategies. And creating feedback loops are essential to help optimize. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. And so, if you could start by talking about, how do you look at the importance of data in digital marketing, even marketing in general, and the critical role of creating that feedback loop? And, what is the role of that feedback loop in being more effective?
Yeah, so a year ago, I moved to California, and I am now experiencing driving in the fog, which is very new to me. And I'm bringing this up because driving in the fog is very similar to doing marketing without data and without a feedback loop, because you don't have any of the signals that tell you. So when I leave my house, I have to take this turn. The road bends around and I can't see the traffic light. And if it's foggy, I truly cannot see the traffic light. And I'm going downhill and I could be barreling through that red light because I have no input to tell me. At times, I can't even tell how far I am from that intersection. And especially when I was new here, I was truly driving blind, and I had to slow down, I had to be very careful. So operating without that data input, that data feedback, and ideally in real time is like driving through fog, and you have to slow down sometimes, you have to stop altogether. So it's not effective marketing, and we're definitely not going to hit our goals if we operate like that. And so I think it's really important that first we have bright traffic lights in many different
Right.
positions, which are our data inputs. We make sure that we have ways of collecting that data, which then gets sent back to us. And the marketing brain, whether it's a mix of technology and the smart humans who make decisions and work with the data and operate the execution of the output, the marketing output. It's very important that we connect all of those dots
Yeah.
so that we don't drive through the fog. Or rather, we know how to drive. If there's fog, we know how fast to drive. We can see how close we are to the target or the traffic light.
Yeah, I love that. I love that metaphor. I think that's helpful in navigating, no pun intended, the terrain. And so to build on that then, how do you recommend? So, let's say you find your way through the fog, just to continue the metaphor here. How do you recommend that marketers utilize those feedback loops that do, they have not only access to the data, but they have useful ways of reading the data and understanding it. How do you recommend that marketers use them and really emphasize that continuous optimization?
First, let me just say that we have to acknowledge that it's very hard. It is not easy for anybody, and all organizations, from small to large, struggle with the architecture of those feedback loops, struggle with the architecture of how to collect data, how to store data, how to manage data, and struggle with the talent portion of it. In this world, that moves very fast, and where users hold the power, our audiences hold the power, and where trends change very fast, and where a video on TikTok could completely reshape how a message is perceived, or what people are into from day to day. It's very hard. And if you're struggling with it, you're not alone. And if anybody tells you that they've completely figured it out, they're lying. They're plain lying. It's very complicated. And also, the biggest challenge in this whole process is ourselves, us, the humans. There's technology out there. A lot of times, we're able to express our goals. We know how much sales we want to do, or in our world here in financial services, we know how many new accounts we want to open, or what volume of deposits we need to pull in from those accounts. We know those details, but how we get there and how we use data to get there gets very complicated. And so, if you haven't figured it out, it's okay. If you make mistakes, it's okay. What we got to do is try. And sometimes we got to start simple. Sometimes we need to come back to the basics. Sometimes we may have to strip away technology and then rebuild it. But the most important thing is to start with setting your objectives. And then one of the key components in today's data environment is to determine fairly early on the relative costs of errors in the models that we build, the data models that we build to optimize our outcomes. I think it's one of the most overlooked elements in the culture of where we cross from data science to marketers, and that intersection between data science and marketers. A lot of times, marketers don't necessarily understand the concept of balancing the benefit of a correct prediction against the cost of an incorrect one. And data scientists may know that, but if marketers don't give them the input to be able to balance those two, it gets quite complicated. So before we get into all the data and the systems and the loops, as humans, we have to do some thinking about how to architect all of that, what our goals are, that balance between the correct predictions and the incorrect predictions, and shedding assumptions. We still operate in all the assumptions of segments and targets and personas. And then we tell even AI technology, we tell them to build predictions based on those. So from the start, we operate with assumptions that then may lead to incorrect predictions.
Yeah, no. And I like that. You know, I haven't heard a lot of people talk about the, you know, the cost aspect, you know, the cost of error. I think that's really interesting. I want to get back to something you said earlier about the people part of this and talk about that some more, because I completely agree. I mean, you know, if you think of like people, process, platform, I've been adding a fourth component to that, which is data, to, you know, in the spirit of this, in the spirit of this conversation, it would be, you know, people, process, data, and platform, just because for reasons already discussed, but also data is just becoming more and more important, particularly with things like AI and everything. But to get to the people, and I would even say the process part of that equation, you know, some of what that means, you know, approaching things from a point of continually optimizing, there's the data and the technology components that you mentioned already. But the other thing you mentioned was the people component. And that to me is building a culture of continuous, not only continuous improvement, but continuous learning. And yeah. So I wanted to talk with you a little bit more about that. And, you know, how do you think about that as far as, you know, getting people not only comfortable with reading the data and taking feedback or whatever, but also just kind of continually pushing and even sometimes being wrong about a first assumption?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was listening to a podcast the other day where the social scientist was proposing the idea that all marketers in the future are going to have to study data science. And yeah. It pointed to the fact that we have generations of marketers who are creatives in their training and programs, school programs that teach you how to be creative and not necessarily teach you how to think like a scientist. But the world is moving in that direction. Marketers today are that unicorn cross between creative and data nerds.
Yeah.
And that has to be nurtured very early on and persistently and consistently at times over extensive periods of time. Nobody is, there's, you know, that there's those innate data nerds for sure. but most marketers are not born data scientists. They have to learn that at some point in their careers, but they also have mentors who come from the generation where marketing was very creative. And so for us, we start with very simple exercises where a lot of times every morning I put in our group chat for our digital marketing team, which I lead, I put a question, hey, everybody, go into Google Analytics and tell me what you see. Everybody, I want everybody, give me one observation and then we discuss it. Because if you think of MBA programs, a lot of them have conversation and dialogue built in. A lot of times you'll have a problem will be presented and people discuss it. And so I'm using the same model to try to get conversation around data and to highlight the fact that multiple different people can observe different things in a data set.
Yeah.
And they all can be true at the same time. And that triggers conversation. And then if they observe something and they'll say, oh, we had a really big spike of traffic on that day. A lot of times their first reaction is to just observe and say, this is what I observed. And then we'll ask, okay, well, why do you think that is? Dig deeper, you know, start parsing your data into smaller chunks. I hear a lot of times that data scientists talk about, or marketers who are also data scientists, talk about the getting down to the atomic level, the most granular level at which it's possible to make a decision or undertake an intervention. And so I'm trying to teach folks and train myself at the same time to keep digging at a micro level and try and build hypotheses at an atomic level, and then we can test them. But it starts with that observation and with building those hypotheses, and then we can use the tools that we have to build A-B tests, multivariate tests, and so on. But it all starts with that discussion that shows people how differently we can think, even though the data is the same.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, and totally, I think that's a great approach because, you know, I assume there's some in the discussion, there's, you know, a lot of times there's not a right or wrong answer. Sometimes there's misinterpretation or whatever, but like in that kind of environment, I would imagine, you know, it's not about judging, you know, if that someone was right or wrong. It's about like evaluating like some of it's the thought process even involved. So, you know, everybody gets to kind of see the work, right?
Yeah. And they also operate with blinders on.
Yeah.
So the affiliate marketer will look at that data set and say, oh, this is what this publisher is producing for us. And the paid search person or the SEO person will look at it and will say, well, our, you know, organic traffic from non-branded, this, you know, whatever, they're looking at it right from their own perspective. Yeah. And we can't be like that as marketers. And that's where we make errors. And that's why when we use an AI tool that learns, we may feed it our biases. And then the output may have a, you know, a higher level of errors that may be imprecise in ways that are damaging to our outputs. Where the AI tool learns to be just as biased as us and be just as have the same blinders that we have.
Right.
And so by having those group conversations, we're also shedding light on our own limitations.
Yeah. And so how have you seen this approach benefit in, you know, in maybe either related or even unrelated ways, but, you know, how do you building a team that can have these conversations and, you know, in a safe, you know, environment to ask questions and hypotheses, you know, what kind of like tangible improvements or successes or things like that can come from that?
In the past year, we've increased our ability to react fast to observations and data tenfold.
Wow. Mm.
And that is very important because oftentimes you'll see something that completely flops, or at times we may notice things where we've over-optimized and we're narrowing our opportunity for, you know, we may, for example, and this is one of the classic examples also in machine learning where we've hyper-optimized to where now we're only catching the middle group of customers who can bring us average lifetime values, and we've excluded the higher income potential or revenue potential group of customers. So by having faster feedback loops, by training people to analyze, to use their brain power to evaluate what's happening a lot faster, we're able to course correct a lot faster, which has increased our ability in our world, you know, to when banking, for example, to pull in a higher volume of deposits or expand our customer base. We've accelerated our ability to do that while also reducing the cost of acquisition.
Yeah. And so in doing this and, you know, building this culture, you know, it sounds like you have a way of doing this that's done regularly. You know, how do you balance this? I would imagine, you know, as with any marketing team, there's those things that just, you know, they have to get done, and there's deadlines, and there's competing priorities and all of these things. You know, how do you make sure that there's enough balance to keep continuously improving, yet knowing that, again, campaigns have to get out the door and new things launch and all those kinds of things? Like how would you recommend someone, you know, kind of balance those priorities?
Actually, this is a hard question for me because I don't know if at my core And I'm not expecting everybody to do this, but at my core, I don't believe that balance exists. But I think it's a very difficult one. I think that in our world, also, we have a tendency to overthink. So I try to encourage our folks to literally imagine splitting their time into this percentage of my time should go to execution. I'm only going to give myself 30 minutes to think through this, not 2 hours. Yeah. You know, we have to be very aggressive about managing our time and taking ownership for our time.
Yeah.
You know, how we spend that time is a personal responsibility. And so, you know, there are days when, for example, Mondays are data day, and there may be somebody on the team who will spend the whole day just crunching numbers, looking at data. We still do a lot of manual work. I'm a purist. I still believe in tinkering with Excel spreadsheets because, again, it teaches data accountability and the idea of we should always know what our numbers are telling us. A lot of times the way to do it that is to do it manually. And yeah. So we've just accepted that Monday is just a data day. But if we can get it done on Monday, then we have the rest of the week to actually act on what we've learned on Monday. You know, I've learned that if we spread out the data responsibilities throughout the week, it's a little harder to, we may just get carried away. It becomes a little harder to do all the marketing stuff. We also split the responsibilities across the team. So everybody pitches in that Monday exercise of evaluating numbers, coming up with hypotheses. I'm asking everybody to pitch in. And then the whole exercise is so much faster. And we're also cross-training at the same time. You know, we're doing our best.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times something may work for a couple of months and then it doesn't. And then we have to adjust again. But it's just like everything else. It's about good time management.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I think it's, there's a lot in there that's actually really interesting. I mean, you know, it's being able to adjust, being, you know, building, I don't know what you want, you know, it could be agility, resiliency. There's different words for it, you know, and some of this gets into semantics, but this idea that what you just said, which is, you know, what works for the next 2 or 3 months may not work, you know, 4 months out, but the team is learning together and working together and open to changing the approach when the approach stops working. I mean, I think there's a lot of value in that. And again, it doesn't mean that the approach was wrong. It just means the approach isn't right anymore given the present circumstances. And I think there's a lot in there. Well, Mana, thank you so much for joining. I got one last question before we wrap up here. So, you know, looking down the road a little bit, foggy as it may be, to bring it back, what are you seeing as far as, we started this conversation talking about data and feedback loops and just the importance of those things. You know, do you see any trends or things that are going to continually grow in importance in you know, data and feedback loops in terms of marketing? And, you know, how should marketers prepare for some of these things?
Yeah, well, first, thank you for having me.
Of course.
It was a pleasure. I always welcome the opportunity to nerd out. And if anybody wants to reach out, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'd say that all of us are reluctant to change, and we operate with so many biases. So I think that what I would predict that is going to happen next is going to be a lot of growing pains for marketers to accept the new technologies and embrace them. And there's so much potential with a lot of the so-called AI tools, although we haven't reached the pure AI models that you see in movies. But there's so much potential there to solve user journey problems, customer engagement problems, to be better at giving people what they want, how they want it, where they want it, which is what I think us marketers should strive for. we are a little bit reluctant to change. So I think it's going to be, an adjustment process for us. There's still a lot of fear for the new technologies that we're going to have to overcome, but there is so much potential. And I do hope that more marketers take the time to learn more about machine learning and what's possible in not be afraid of the potential that the new tools give us to make decisions faster. I definitely am not concerned about machine learning or AI technology replacing us, just like the big manufacturing revolution in the early 1900s. It actually increased the size of economies and created more jobs instead of taking jobs away. So I think we should be brave about stepping into and learning about new tools and new ways of increasing our ability to give people what they want.
Yeah, love it. Well, again, I'd like to thank Mana Ionescu, FVP Digital Marketing at Access Bank, for joining the show. To connect with Mana and learn more about Access Bank, you can follow the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GregKilstrom.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile Brand Guides, covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kilstrom on Amazon. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.